Sally Anderson from Elgin is a wee bit of a rambler. Not that she waffles. She just likes walking in Scotland's stunning countryside. Mountains, parks, beaches, you name it. Zoe's been there. But you wouldn't know that because Zoe makes sure she puts her litter in the bin or takes it home if there isn't one. She leaves Scotland stunning exactly the way she found it. Nice one, Zoe. Next time you're out and about, bin your litter or carry a wee bag and take it home. You've been telt.
You might recognise Janie Godley's voice from her takeoffs of First Minister Nicola Sturgeon's COVID-19 statements during the pandemic. As we emerge from lockdown, the Scots comic has become the official voice of the latest national anti-litter campaign, Scotland is Stunning. While all visitors are very welcome, litter isn't. Dropping a cigarette end or empty drink can on the ground doesn't just spoil the view, it's a crime. And litter's also a huge waste of stuff which we could make much better use of. Everything we waste is making the climate crisis worse. Welcome to Towards Zero. I'm Julia Horton and I'm hosting Zero Waste Scotland's podcast. We're here to make Scotland a place where nothing's wasted. That matters because the single biggest cause of the climate emergency here is everything we produce, buy and throw out, too often after just one use. Our latest research reveals that each year the average Scot gets through more than twice the amount of stuff we should do to live well and keep our planet healthy too. This is the first episode in our new series on enjoying life after lockdown without trashing the planet. As we make the most of getting back out and about, we can all do more and still waste less. One cafe in the Loch Lomond and Trossachs National Park has an appetising approach to the litter problem. Here's Sarah Heward from the Real Food Cafe in Tyndrum explaining what they're doing.
You know, with a kind of small group of like-minded people doing something really worthwhile and then eating fish and chips. And, you know, so far we've had really nice weather. So in a way, what's not to like? I'm surprised we haven't got people kind of offering to pay us to be on them, actually. They're really good.
It does sound like a nice day out, which isn't something I'd expect to say about a litter pick. The cafe launched their litter picks to coincide with the start of our latest national anti-litter campaign. Visitors and locals who sign up to join the free picks are loaned a litter picker and high-vis jacket and rewarded with a complimentary fish supper afterwards. Litter picking is hardly the kind of outdoors activity we should need to take up, though, and it doesn't solve the problem either. Back to Sarah on the impact of litter and lockdown and how Scotland compares to other tourist destinations.
I mean, you know, litter and kind of rural infrastructure and kind of tourism litter has been a problem for a long time. But last summer, with the opening of lockdown and the kind of change in some of the demographics of some of the people that we were having visit us, it kind of all came into, you know, very sharp focus, and it became a kind of acute problem, really. And there was a lot of negative publicity about it. And we've all seen, you know, the awful photographs, and, you know, some of the stuff has been absolutely appalling, frankly. You know, we hoped that we would make a difference both you know, practically by collecting a quantity of rubbish. And, you know, the first litter pick we picked 125 kilos of rubbish. If you think the majority of it is kind of crisp packets and empty bottles and tins, that's quite a lot of rubbish. It was nearly 30 sackfuls of rubbish from that to our litter pick. And then on the second occasion, we got almost 90 kilos of litter. Similar stuff, but also actually included a tent and two deck chairs and quite a lot of those disposable barbecues. Littering is, you know, a very serious issue, and it's not only serious environmentally, which of course is crucial, I believe, but, you know, there's the environmental impacts, there's kind of wider ecosystem, you know, the wildlife that is affected as well. And then there's the kind of tourism and commercial impact of it. You know, very often we go on holidays, you could go abroad on holiday. We're fans of the Canary Islands. You don't see all this litter over in the Canary Islands. So we don't want to appear to be a dirty country. We're a beautiful country. And, you know, we want to really make the most of what we've got to offer, because tourism is and will continue to be a crucial part of the Scottish economy. So that's another reason. So I think that, you know, it's got to be tackled from kind of the top down. There's a whole kind of educational piece, really. I mean, the notion that it is acceptable to open your car window and chuck stuff out is just, you know, that's just wrong. And people have got to be explained and taught and educated why that's wrong.
One of the best ways to reduce waste and stop litter is to choose things that you can use again and again, instead of buying and binning countless bottles or barbecues that are only designed to be used once. Like many cafes pre-COVID, Sarah's Roadside Diner sold reusable travel mugs to customers who got free drink refills with their food order whenever they returned with their mug. As Scotland's tourist sector reopens, she's keen to rejoin the national reusables revolution.
It will be great to have a kind of concerted effort to get people back into using their travel mugs, and because that had been really successful, I think, on a kind of national scale. And it's a shame to see it, you know, having taken such a backward step.
Roughly half of all people in Scotland live within an hour's drive of the national park, with thousands of visitors each year coming from around the world. Many camp and picnic, and the tent, chairs and disposable barbecues that Sarah and her volunteer litter pickers found are not uncommon. Here's National Park Litter Prevention Manager Nick Turner on what people leave behind these days and why.
Obviously, we have all your general day tripper picnicker litter, you know, the normal on-the-go stuff you'd see, bottles, cans, sweetie wrappers, that sort of thing. But then we start to get more complicated issues where when we have large volumes of people coming to the park or to one place at one time. So, for example, we have this phenomenon we like to call polite littering. And this is where people bag up all their waste, tie it off in a neat little package and leave it behind for us, which is very, very kind for, as you can imagine, not quite the behaviour we want to see. And then I'm sure a lot of listeners will have seen last year a huge increase in the amount of fly camping or festival camping or, you know, general disposal of camping equipment. It's not just the tent, it's literally the kitchen sink in some cases. So we'll have the tent, a gazebo, a barbecue, sleeping bags, chairs. You know, it really is the whole campsite that we're finding on site. Really upsettingly, sometimes when we're finding these fly tip campsites, it's literally the evidence is there to show that the person bought all of that equipment the day that they came camping. So the rangers will have a look to see if they can find any evidence, you know, they'll look through for identifying materials, and they'll find a receipt from a shop with the same date on it saying tent, sleeping bag, sleeping mat. And it just feels as though the cost of the equipment has been sunk into the cost of the experience. It's almost as though it's a disposable item. You know, it cost us 20 odd quid, doesn't matter about it. If we leave it behind, no big worry on us.
Park rangers regularly speak to visitors to help people understand the harm done by litter and fly tipping, which is littering on a bigger scale. They can also issue fines of up to £200. The National Park is one of the organisations working with us on the latest Scotland is Stunning campaign. No one should leave litter, full stop. But there is understandable confusion about bins, as Nick explains here.
So on a day trip around the National Park, you could feasibly go through four different local authority areas, as well as kind of visiting some private estates or public estates, and find loads of different approaches to bins and litter picking. So in some instances, you'll find lay-by bins. In some places, you'll find recycling bins. And in some places, you won't find bins at all. Now, you know, this is quite contentious because a lot of people expect there to be bins in every location that they go. And to kind of give the flip side of it, there's a lot of different reasons that go into why and where we do have bins. So there's a very practical and pragmatic element to this. And you can imagine that a lot of the sites that we manage are very rural and are quite difficult to access. So if you have to walk down a little track to get to the side of the Loch Shaw, there's no chance that there's going to be a bin lorry being able to access that site. So we're having to put the infrastructure where we can feasibly service it or where it's easy for our staff to go to it. But then there's the much more, I guess, philosophical debate about respect and care for the environment. And what people expect when they come to these places. And this is why we kind of always promote, first and foremost, if you can take it in, you can take it out, the kind of leave no trace ethos. And that's about visitors just understanding that the national park and green spaces are for everybody, but ultimately that means they're everybody's to respect and look after.
Clearing up litter costs a significant amount in staff time and fuel for trucks to collect and deliver it to the appropriate place. As I said earlier, litter also costs the planet dearly, but it's hard to measure the scale of the damage. Here's Nick again.
You know, somebody leaves a barbecue behind, fine, that's one thing to pick it up. But what happens when that barbecue actually sets fire to peatland? What happens if that bottle sees an animal get trapped in it and that animal sadly dies?
Another way to stop bottles from becoming litter in the first place is to give people money back for taking drinks, bottles and cans to be recycled so that more of them can be turned into more bottles and cans. Offering a financial reward is one way to change what people do. We humans can be complicated though. While most anti-litter initiatives show shocking images of scenic spots strewn with abandoned stuff, our latest campaign doesn't feature a single picture of litter. Here's Zero Waste Scotland's litter and behaviour expert Emma Leese to explain why.
We think littering is a bit like the broken window theory in buildings, where if one window is smashed and the glass isn't fixed, people tend to think the area matters less and kind of generally isn't cared for, so more stuff gets broken. And littering seems to have that same effect. So seeing a lot of people litter somewhere gives the impression and a cue that the place hasn't been looked after and that littering is acceptable there. So it doesn't matter if an extra piece of litter is added to it. And conversely, and interestingly, one visible bit of litter in an otherwise clean place actually has been shown to have the opposite type of behavioural result, where the bit of litter is demonstrating a norm that it isn't the done thing to litter there.
So, showing people litter-free places is thought to be more likely to create more litter-free places. Research has also shown that attitudes and understanding varies widely. Cigarette ends are among the most toxic, common, and difficult types of litter to clear up, but some people admit to regularly dropping them because they don't think they're litter at all. Others think it's okay to drop banana skins because they're natural, but they're litter too and take a long time to break down. Here's a final word from Visit Scotland's marketing director, Vicky Miller, on why we need to be litter-free.
Tourism is a force for economic and social good. It creates and sustains local jobs and it helps to build vibrant communities. And so we need everyone to play their part in helping to protect the environment and eliminate waste, including litter, and keep Scotland special.
So to sum up, you should bin or bag all your litter, whatever it is. As Janie Godley says in our campaign, you've been telt. Apologies for the bad accent there. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please share it so more people can learn how to do more to help save the planet. I hope you can join us for the next episode in Life After Lockdown when we chat about getting social without trashing the planet. Thanks for listening. Bye.